If you haven't seen the title of this message is Act Supernaturally. Okay, so I don't know. Johnny Russell, I didn't know this, but I looked it up, who wrote this song, and it became Buck Owens' first number one country hit in 1963. I was 13 years old, and so I probably heard it on the radio. I remember it a lot. Act Naturally. Okay, and it starts out, they're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. Well, we'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely, and all I got to do is act naturally. Do you guys remember that? Okay, well, my dad used to play it all the time. Anyway, maybe you begin to... They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me. You don't remember that? Okay, now. It played a lot because it was number one for a long time. Well, I decided that what I would do would take that my message title and change the words of that song. I'll sing it. That'll be the best way. God's going to put me in his story. He's going to get some glory out of me. Even though I never walked on water, I follow Jesus supernaturally. That's the tune of that song. And that's the point. You know, we may not feel supernatural, but God says we are. And what he says we are, because he's our maker. We've become new creatures in Christ. We've been born again as his children. We are now temples of the Holy Spirit. And the King of the universe lives inside of us. Now, that's pretty supernatural. And all of us have that supernatural status. That's our identity. That's really our Christian reality. But we forget it. And we got to remember it. Living supernaturally in Christ is living the normal Christian life. And that's how Paul lived his life. And he exemplified that, living a natural life supernaturally. He exemplified that in our text that we have read today. He demonstrated that the natural way, he demonstrated the natural way to act supernaturally. The natural way. And in verse 3 it says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Now, although all these 276 shipwrecked men were safe on shore, says safely on shore, not one of them were lost. And it was all by Paul's supernatural guidance. But he claimed no special status because of that. He just joined the others like everybody else, picking up more stuff, more gathering more wood for the fire, just like everybody else. And Jesus has a new definition about what status is, what greatness is, or what an elevated status is. And that is this in Mark 9:35. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. So this snake bite incident was actually it's an opportunity to look at some bad theology. And sometimes we might hold on to some of this theology and we might do these things. But here's what it says in verse 4. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "Oh, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." They knew what this snake was. It was a viper. It was a poisonous snake. And people didn't live when they got bit by it. Now, Job's three friends, they have the same view. They were saying that Job's suffering was from it was God's punishment for his sins. They were wrong. The truth is that in this fallen world and among fallen people and being fallen ourselves, bad things can happen to good people. And we know that. We just, it's part of our life. We, you know, younger people might not know it, but as we live longer on this earth, we realize that bad things can happen to good people. But in verse 6, after seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. But the truth is that success and prosperity and good health, they tell us nothing about our relationship with God. And you know why? It's because that God, it says in Matthew 5:45, God causes his sun to shine on the good, on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Why is it that way? It's because God is a good God. And even though they're not following him, he blesses them. He gives grace to them. It's called grace that comes before any kind of thing that we do, prevenient grace. It just comes before anything that we do. God blesses us. And he does that for people who are maybe murderers. They have grace too. So can we act supernaturally can we act supernaturally natural? I mean, just say, oh, well, take it in stride or what? When we've just been bitten by a poisonous viper, or maybe closer to home, by a terminal diagnosis, you know? We get bitten by one of those once in a while. I'm sort of under that diagnosis in a way. But Paul, what was Paul's response? It says that he shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. And that's really the key, I think. It's because of who we are that we cannot let the anxieties that the world has about death, we can't let them get to us. We've got to shake them off because of who we are. We're supernatural people whom death cannot kill. Jesus said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now that's interesting because Jesus would often tell the truth, but he was looking for faith in what he was saying. You know, sometimes we get it up here. We get the truth and we say, yeah, I believe that. But then we start feeling fear of death. But the truth is, do you believe this? I just told you the truth. Now, do you believe it? And if we do believe it, then we begin supernaturally living the normal Christian life. Maybe we've not been so normal. Maybe we do fear death or something. And, you know, a lot of Christians have different kinds of fears, not just death, different kinds of losses. Usually it's fearing different kinds of losses. But if we believe this, if we believe this, we start living supernaturally from who we really are by letting Jesus, the living Christ who lives within us, live his life there. And then supernatural life goes wherever we go. And in verse 7 it says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, a chief official of the island, and he welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. Now, that's Luke talking, because Luke is in this party. He went through that shipwreck. He's got the whole story here, and that's why he can say, we went, okay? But in his great commission, Jesus said, I am with you always. That's just a blanket statement over everything that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, he says, I will be with you. I am with you always. Now, it's whether we're working or whether we're relaxing, like at this point Paul was. Jesus remains with us. Really, he remains within us. He does not leave us or forsake us. And who we are is a royal priesthood, it says in Peter. A holy temple built up to God. That's who we are. We're each ministers, commissioned ministers. Because remember what the word ministers means. It means servants. We are commissioned servants to be working for the Lord. And we say, well, that's the pastor's job or the missionaries. No, it's all of us. We are a holy priesthood. And Paul enjoyed 3 days. You know, he enjoyed 3 days of hospitality. He's probably relaxing. Then Jesus showed him a ministry need where he needed to serve in the capacity as a supernatural person. And in verse 8 it says, his father, which is speaking of Publius's father, was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. And in those days, that killed people. Okay, dysentery can kill people. They didn't have IVs to give people liquids. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. Now, you might think, well, shouldn't Luke write, and God healed him? Not Paul healed him. Well, that's written that way for a reason. And this is the reason. The incarnational truth is that Jesus united himself with us in the same way that when he was here in Palestine, on the earth, he was united with his Father. He said this would happen to us now, that we would be united with him. And Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. He said, I do the works of my Father. And when he did the works of his Father, it made them his own works. Do you see? So he said, haven't you seen all the works that I've done from my Father? I've done them, but they're from my Father. He said that to people. Well, he only did his Father's works, and that made him his own. And that's what Paul did too. That's why it says that Paul healed. It was Jesus in him healing. You know, Jesus was doing the work, but Paul was listening and obeying, and for all intents and purposes, say, look, Paul just healed that guy. Woo! You know, no, Paul was a supernatural person. We're ministers, all of us, servants, living supernaturally in Christ, who was the greatest servant. Servant of all. And that's the normal Christian life. We don't control how we serve. I mean, we just need to listen to the inner voice of Christ within us to know how we're supposed to be serving. And just remember, he's not done yet. He's not done with us, and he's not done with this world. He's still working here. Our indwelling Lord is not finished. And when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, like we just prayed that, that's not an option. It's not optional to pray that kind of a prayer. That's the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. It's not optional, like, oh, well, I just wish that God's will would be. No, thy will be done. That's the 24/7 incarnational reality of our King living within us, doing his will if we submit. So we pray that prayer. It has to start with us first. Thy will be done in us as it is in heaven. And then it begins to be done in the earth. So, because he's not done yet, this last point, Christ's supernatural mission continues, but it continues in us. In verse 9 it says, when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. This verse sort of reminds us of Jesus' ministry, his healing ministry in Palestine. In Luke 6:19 it says, and the people all tried to touch him, Jesus, because power was coming from him and healing them all. So when Paul was on this, all these people were coming and they were all healed. They were all cured. So it was Jesus in Paul continuing his healing ministry. So we cannot forget who we really are. We're supernatural people. We're born from above. We are citizens of heavenly kingdom. And the power of that kingdom is as operative now as it was when Jesus manifested that power in Palestine. And listen what he told us. This is hard for us to accept sometimes, because we say, this is a hard saying. But Jesus said it, and he really emphasized it, because in the old King James, verily, verily, and it's mean, I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. I tell you the truth, Jesus says in John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now, luckily, that's in the plural. It means us, we, all of us together will be doing greater things. But he had to leave. I am going to the Father. Why? Because he was going to send the Holy Spirit. It was after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism that he began his ministry of miracles and so on. And so what do we have now? We have the Holy Spirit. We are supernatural people. And we've got to be ready to do whatever he tells us. Sometimes we're a little, well, I can't do everything that Jesus did. He tells you you're going to. I mean, okay, I got to listen to Jesus, not to my own little rational mind here. Well, Jesus was God's Son, but all of his supernatural works were from his Father. And there's a verse of Scripture that shows that. It's Luke 5:17. When the people were coming in, it says, "And the power of the Lord was present for him," Jesus, "to heal the sick." And you say, well, wait a minute, didn't he do it on his own? No, he did it just like Paul did it. It says Paul healed them, right? Paul healed them. But really, who was healing them? It was Jesus in Paul. And that's what Jesus was doing while he was down here. And guess what that does? That makes his follow me real practical. When he says follow me, he means you can do it. Because that's what I did. I let the Holy Spirit guide me. I listened to the Father and I did the work. So that's how we are to function as Christians, the normal Christian life. Not saying, I've got to think about this. And what did I learn in grade school? Miracles really don't happen. Well, they do happen. They do happen. And that's where we've got to be. The normal Christian life. If we respond to illness in the normal Christian life, you know what we do? We offer prayer. And you know, prayer is a really supernatural thing. It's part of our supernatural living. But if we believe Christ's words about who we are and what we will do after he left, then we should WWJD. Now, I used to say, what would Jesus do? To find out what I should do. But then I started changing it. No, I want Jesus to be active. So what will Jesus do? I'm going to give you a new one. Watch what Jesus does. That's what he was doing on earth. He was watching what his Father was doing. And he was following his Father. So seeing and following Jesus, it might mean that we watch Jesus lay hands on somebody. What are we supposed to do then? Well, if I lay hands on somebody, that'll look too supernatural, like I have some kind of power or something. You do have power. It's in you. It's not your power. It's the power of God's kingdom in the Holy Spirit. So, yes, we are called to live supernaturally. And people think, oh, they're acting too supernatural. I can't help it. I am. I'm a supernatural being. I'm from another kingdom, not of this world. Ever since Jesus ascended so that he and his Father could come and indwell us by the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has not been finished with his work on earth. And he's doing it through us. And we are the gigantic body of Christ now. The incarnation is now in a whole bunch of people around the world. And so what we've got to do is keep our spiritual eyes open and WWJD. Watch what Jesus does. Watch what Jesus does with our spiritual eyes. I came up with this thing today about imagination. We live in a different country now. It's a new heavenly country. And so we have to have image nation. We're in a nation where we imagine, where we see in our minds. It's not like we're making something up, but we're seeing the image in our minds, or our mind's eye, of what God is showing us. And it might be something we need to develop more, Lord, what are we doing in this situation? Because it's we together. Lord, what are we doing in this situation? Oh, you're putting your hands on him? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Put my hands on. Oh, you want me to anoint him with oil? Okay. What else do you want me to do? Tell him that. Give him a tract and tell him about the Lord, you know, or something. It doesn't matter what it is. We are servants. We're not making this all up ourselves. We're following Jesus. And that's living supernaturally. It's something that's not exceptional. It's not out of the ordinary. It's merely our calling as believers, living in Christ, the normal Christian life. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to live the normal Christian life. Maybe we've been a little abnormal. Maybe we've been a lot abnormal. And Lord, we want to see these examples of Paul. He was just a man, and yet he was a supernatural man, just like we are. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to see with our spiritual eyes that image the nation that we belong to, the kingdom of God. And we image that in our minds by letting you show us what you're doing. And then we follow you, Lord. Help us to live this normal Christian life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.